Welcome back to RCR 360. And joining me now is John Carapiet, spokesman of GE Free New Zealand and a consumer researcher and advocate. John has been a leader in the GE debate since 1998 and was inspired to get involved in the issue because of the wide-ranging implications of genetic engineering becoming commercialised around the world. Hi, John. It is so good to have you here with RCR 360.
Thank you.
I watched both of the calls that you did, the webinars that you did recently around this debate with VFF. And I'll be honest, I'll put my hands up, I don't know a huge amount the nuts and bolts of this. When I listened to what you had to say, there was one question that just screamed at me both times, and I hope you can answer this for me. And that is, cui bono, who benefits? I still can't figure out what is the purpose of these changes to New Zealand?
Well, the government and, you know, the National Party announced before the election they were going to do this. They were going to try and enable biotechnology to be much more available for everybody, basically, in New Zealand. Now, in a way, the question you've asked is the best question, because what we need to do is navigate a middle path for New Zealand that kind of benefits in any way as possible without putting risks onto the public or onto nature or onto our exporters. And what this bill might have done is find that middle path. But unfortunately, it hasn't done that. And we need to get it back on track to be, as you know, to pick up your words, to be a middle path and balance between who benefits and who carries risks. Now, at the moment, there's a thing called the HASNO Act, the Hazardous Substances and New Organisms Act, that governs genetic engineering. And that's got some really important things in it that are being deleted in this bill. One of them is the precautionary principle, which is like that whole do no harm. If you're a doctor, try not to kill your patient. If you're the gene regulator, try not to do any really big damage to the environment or people or exports. Now, unfortunately, that's been removed from the bill. Now, so who benefits from that is the biotechnology industry, because they're being enabled by the bill, but there's no precaution to balance that. And at the same time, there's no liability on them to encourage them to comply, to encourage them to be really extra safe. They want them to make money. So the biotechnology industry is a commercial industry to a large extent. And so to have no precaution in place means they're going to be able to do more. But that is at the public risk and the risk of the environment. And it also means, because there's no liability on them and there's no mandatory insurance required for their activities, if something goes wrong, and in the past things have gone wrong with trials in New Zealand, and we can talk about that, but if something goes wrong, it's kind of like the public pay or ratepayers pay. So what happened years ago was there was a big trial of GE sheep, and, you know, people might be surprised. I thought there were no trials. I thought we had a ban. We haven't had a ban, but there has been really strict controls and regulation, which is that there has no act. So a lot of people I've heard in the recent weeks are saying, well, hang on, why don't we just keep the has no act, which is in place, has served us well. And when I say served us, it's trying to find that middle path. Industry is saying, no, it's not the middle path, you blocked us out. There's no real evidence of that other than them saying it. So I guess, you know, we have to believe them that they're not doing what they want to do. But to now do this bill, which allows them to do what they want to do, is really pushing it the other way to the extreme. And if you listen to some of the scientists and the independent experts looking at what's happening globally with regulation, we're going from quite strict regulation that has served us well to the most deregulated market in the world. Now, that's a really big problem, because our exporters, and they're speaking up, they're saying, well, actually, even though many of these big food industry bodies actually are open to GMOs, and, you know, and the research has gone on, and they can see the market really doesn't want it. So, for example, Zespri have had a long, successful new product line, but they haven't gone GMO. They've gone with traditional breeding because the markets overseas don't really want GMO. And the markets overseas don't really want gene editing, which is the same thing, but with a different name. So making sure that you can keep them separate, allow people to have a choice, means you've got to regulate them. And then again, this bill is actually exempting a large chunk of things that are regulated overseas. So we're opening up a mixture of who benefits, but also who pays the cost. And let's talk about that as we converse today.
Right.
Because the public are being made to pay the cost. I guess that's the nub of it.
So I just want to drill down. Who is the biotech industry? And when you say that they're wanting to do this in New Zealand, if it's the biotech industry as an international, a global entity, we're a flea fart in a hurricane, John. Why on earth are they wanting to do this in a market as minute as ours? Or are we the test case in order to take this deregulation to the world?
I think the last thing you said, I have no real strong knowledge of exactly what's in these people's minds who are pushing this. But you're right, the biotechnology industry is a global industry, but there's also local players. Academics, you know, the universities are very heavily involved with a kind of pressure to market and to get intellectual property and to make a commercial product. The whole support for like pure science, public interest science has ebbed away, as we all know. So they've got skin in the game. So they're not really fair brokers, except some scientists and some independent researchers who are not trying to drive IP and patents because they've been told to, but are really looking at that more ecological, environmental and other consumer and social issues. But the bottom line is that if they pass this bill, the right to choose is taken away because there's no regulation and traceability of these new genomic techniques or what they call precision breeding products. So that means basically there's market failure because the market has been really clear. And I'm absolutely certain of this, wherever people sit on the GE debate, you know, whether they're pro it or not sure or anti it, the vast majority of people agree there should be the right to choose. And to have that right to choose, to allow people to say, no, I don't want gene editing, I want non-GMO, you have to have traceability and some kind of regulation and some kind of registration of these organisms. And that's what the British have got. They've got a thing called the Precision Breeding Act that actually says a number of things. You had to register and apply for this exemption, in effect, to say, because it's all about these products being so much almost like nature that they're not worried about them. And I'd love to talk about the scientific reasons why that's not the case. But industry have been kind of sold by the biotechnology industry locally and globally that this is a good thing, that the risks can be managed. And they kind of have been right to now. We haven't had any disasters in New Zealand because we've had contained research. There's been some problems, but not that I know of. Actual disasters that have caused our collapse of our industries. We've actually got really good exports at the moment. And why is that? It's because the biotechnology industry in New Zealand has not majorly changed our products, the fruit and the vegetables and the meat and the milk. They've actually tied hold on that and said, well, look, the market doesn't want it. So even the big players who are kind of like along with the biotech journey, And let's be clear, genetic engineering is only one small part of biotechnology, and biotechnology and genetic engineering and containment for medicine or for research or even production has got a whole lot of different issues because it's contained and not leaking into the environment and spreading versus external uses. So in a way, we've had a kind of moderated biotechnology strategy by default with these strict rules, and the industry's complained. And they've got the ear of the government. And the government is literally, in my view, handing them a Christmas present, because it just happened before Christmas, to say no regulation of a whole lot of stuff, no liability on you guys. Even the officials have got exemption from liability. So if they make a decision that goes wrong, the public pay, there's no like onus on them. They've got immunity from prosecution, I guess. And there's no insurance required. And there's no real kind of requirement for a compensation bond to clean up a site or to pay for someone whose crop's been contaminated, or there's no monitoring of animals. So that GE animals, our bill allows gene edited animals, plants and microorganisms. No other country really allows that breadth of organisms to be modified, and certainly no other country allows them to be exempted from oversight if they're kind of deemed like nature. And what the scientists who are independent, but biotechnologists all the same, that I'm listening to and seeing, is they're saying you've got to check what a new organism is. You can't just assume the company and leave them to self-regulate. There needs to be some registration of this organism. You need to just check that it is what you think it is, because CRISPR and these new genetic techniques can cause off-target effects. Mm. Now, of course, the companies will look for them, but they don't look that hard. The best example of that was the first gene-edited animal in the American market was a hornless cow that was launched to the market, and only afterwards did the regulator, and they weren't trying to like stop it because it was allowed, but they noticed that when they looked at the whole genetic profile, at that whole genome sequencing that we heard about during COVID, you can do that, you can see what you've done. And when they looked, they found all these unexpected entrants of new, of unwanted genetic material, including antibiotic resistance in this cow. So they had to take it off the market and fix it up. But the fact that they were so confident that they knew what this organism was shows that you can't rely on companies. You have to check what an organism is. So that's one of the major things that I think the food industry in New Zealand are speaking up about. And we'll talk about their response to this bill later. But they're saying, well, you've got to, even if you're exempting these from regulation, you have to show why they're exempt. So you have to show what the organism is, that it is just like nature, which it isn't. But like, that's
so this has been Judith Collins' hobby horse, this bill.
Well, she was leading it and now she's not. She's been transferred over.
She's been transferred. However, from what you're saying, so again, correct me if I'm wrong, from what you're saying, this sounds like the safe and effective all over again. So they're trying to downplay any possible negative effects. So
right, Marie. They're downplaying the fact that they're making such significant changes. They're just saying, oh, look, we're going to do this. We said we're going to do this, and biotechnology industry needs to be helped. But they're absolutely misleading the public because they're not mentioning that the precaution has been taken away. That's been this bedrock of precaution that's allowed us not to make mistakes. And they're taking away the right to choose. They're not mentioning that. I mean, I've actually said to people, oh, where in the bill does it say that they're taking away these things? And the problem is they're not in the bill. That's why they're not there. But what they are in is what's called the regulatory impact statement. It's basically a review of what this bill's doing. And if people find that, and it's available online, and you read what it says, oh, the precautionary principle seems a bit old-fashioned, so we're dropping it. And worse, the requirement for the regulator to consider issues like the economy and exports and community values and expectations, or the right to choose, or any of these things is too much. And they're not going to do that either. So all those pillars that have been in place, the public are not being told, or those pillars are being taken away. And a lot of the people, you know, are open to GE. If you look at the numbers, you know, the best one that's been recent is that about 14% actually support what this bill does. A real easing of regulation to help the biotechnology industry, both local and global. And you know, just to answer your point about why here, we've been very successful in terms of moderating gene technology. It's allowed in medicine, in research, where it's not in our mainstream food supply. And I think it would be a bit of a gold ribbon for the biotechnology industry to crush that, to say, look, you got it. And you're not even going to have a choice to not have it because it's going to be hidden in your food supply. But as I say, the food industry are pushing back because they're being told food prices might go up. You're going to have to pay more to like keep traceability of non-GMO food. All the supermarkets have got non-GMO policies for their own brands. So all the growers that are supplying Woolworths and Macro and Old Bunch and Pam's, they're going to be in the firing line if they can't secure non-GMO and say, look, it isn't contaminated by these unregulated gene-edited products. So it's really creating a huge mess for food industry, for consumers, and the future of New Zealand. So I'm really hoping that the public and industry will speak up against this bill. There's some people who say stop it, and you know, for good reason. And the corollary of that would be, and just adapt Hasno to be a little bit more user-friendly for the industry, but not handing it over to them like this bill does.
Yeah, carte blanche. So let's sort of talk about industry a little bit. I mean, I'm from Hawke's Bay, so we've got wine.
Gene-free zone. Gene-free zone in Hawke's Bay.
Yeah, and we've got beef and lamb, all the fruit growers here. I mean, we are an agrarian area. This bill could absolutely decimate what goes on in this area. We rely heavily on exports here. Much of what's grown here isn't consumed in New Zealand, it's consumed offshore. So what SWOT analysis has been done in terms of the impact of having GE organisms or product going into this food trade for our export market?
Well, it's quite a lot. In terms of the actual most recent study, and it's not a complete study, they actually said this. This is the NZ Economic Institute of Research, NZEIR. And they did a publication because they were commissioned to, because no one had actually done this study, to say, well, what is the value of the non-GMO market? Because it's not just organic that's non-GMO. All our products are non-GMO going to. So we kind of got what the world wants. And I think sometimes our farmers don't realize that we're trading on the non-GMO thing, even though they haven't been told about it, because by default, we haven't got it in our environment. So in terms of the industry response, they're really waking up to saying, well, hang on, we're trading on this. And if we can't trace and restrict and manage gene editing, then we're going to lose that capacity to guarantee those products to the market. So that's the really big one.
I just can't help feeling that this is like a nightmare that's unfolding that we've actually lived before, but we've refused to see. It's like you wake up in the morning and you're grasping to try and remember fragments of that bad dream that you had the night before. Who is actually ringing the bell? Is there anybody within industry, within government, within public departments who are saying, can we just take a bit of a breather on this and look a little bit deeper? Is anybody deeply concerned?
Well, almost everybody. Seriously, I'm not joking. Almost everybody, apart from the people who wrote the bill and the biotechnology industry welcoming it. And even some people in the biotechnology industry are saying, And as I say, the big players like Beef and Lamb. So just going back to Hawke's Bay, just to be very clear, again, it's not in the bill. It's in the RIS, this report, saying we're going to take away the right of councils to protect ratepayers and to protect non-GMO growers in Hawke's Bay, and to take it away from people in Northland, where they've established these rules and basically these extra precautions. So not only are the government taking precaution out of the main bill, but they've also basically banning GE-free zones by saying councils can't be precautious either, which is outrageous. If you think that, you're going to, and given that the liability falls onto ratepayers and taxpayers when things go wrong, that's really outrageous. So councils in Hawke's Bay need to be writing back to the government, making submissions saying, do not take away our rights to moderate your risk-taking appetite, which is what this is all about. But in terms of industry, as I say, all of them are now concerned. I think there's a lot of appetite for GE in industry to say, look, we've got to do it. You know, there may be some good things and they may be right, but that's why we need regulation to make sure it is right and not goes wrong. So Beef and Lamb and the dairy industry wrote just before Christmas to the government, to the select committee, which is the health select committee, that was looking at submissions that close on the 17th of February. And then if you want to be heard, they may invite you to talk. But the big industries of New Zealand that you don't say no to be honest, they said no to them. And they said, we're not going to give you an extension. You knew this bill was coming, but no one knew the extreme deregulation that it entails. So they were told no. So they're busy thinking, what about our exports? Because even though they've got maybe investments in these things, they still know the market, and especially globally, it's really big. The non-GMO market will become a problem for them, exporting and actually even importing. So they're kind of busy in the back room, I hope, saying we've got to protect non-GMO organic production. We've got to do that. And this bill actually prevents them from doing it. So I've seen documents saying, we want these new organisms that you're exempting registered so we know what's in New Zealand. So at the border, a test can be done to say, oh, no, that's okay. It's approved. So that's not in our bill. It is in the UK bill, where the Precision Breeding Act, which is the very things we've got zero governance on, industry there, I think they might have spoken up, and because the Brits were going, or rather the Brexit English really, were going for a much more deregulated market too, but they stopped, and their bill says you've got to register and apply for the product, you've got to show what it is, that it is what you say it is, you've got to have animal welfare reports. There's no ethics in our bill, but even the Brits have got an animal welfare check to say the GE animal isn't being cruelly maintained and stuff. And you've got to register so that it can be traced through the system. We've got to have that. And I think industry are going to have that. And if the government doesn't do that, it is absolutely economic sabotage, because our main industries are asking for that. And the consumer is as well, not directly, but they want the choice. And by not having any of those things, there is no choice. So those are the fundamentals. So the independent scientists, social scientists, actually, from the University of Auckland and other places have spoken up and say, what this bill does, I think I may have mentioned this, it says, today you've got to think about community values, ethics, animal welfare, certainly to some extent, economy, risks and benefits. And the bill says, oh, or rather that introductory statement, the RIS says, oh, yeah, it's all too difficult, very difficult to prove a benefit. So then we're not going to bother. The regulator doesn't have to show any benefit. He doesn't have to show any consideration of anything except what is this very narrow definition of allowing it or not allowing it. So that's a big issue for some of the independent researchers and scientists commenting on this bill. And then the last lot of people who are pushing back, I think, are the consumers globally and locally. When people hear about this, and thank you for covering this issue, because the mainstream media have been a little bit misleading themselves by not saying, oh yeah, by the way, you're not going to have any choice and precautions going out the window. At least they could tell the public that, so they could say, well, I'm not sure I want that. But in terms of public awareness, it's been very quiet in New Zealand because we haven't had GMOs. The farmers have gone to sleep thinking, oh, no one cares. The government, I think the minister said, you know, Judith said, you know, people don't care. Well, they do care globally. The market for non-GMOs is growing at about 12 or 13% a year in India and China and America and Europe. Those are the countries we're targeting with our products. So it's, you know, this is a very big problem for New Zealand, this bill, because it's gone to the extreme supporting the enabling biotech and GE, but they've forgotten everybody else. They really have.
Do you think that there has been lobbying and pressure applied to the government from external forces to actually
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, because this is a global thing. So going back to your question about poor old little New Zealand, and I do say poor old little New Zealand because we've got what the world wants. We've actually got something that will allow a middle path for gene technology to be ethically and sustainably used, probably in containment, in my view. Certainly the independent scientists, and there's a group called, I think it's the Institute of Biosafety at the University of Canterbury. They've actually done their submission on this bill. And I would recommend people who are, you know, interested in the science rather than just my right to choose, to look at their submission. And it's available through the University of Canterbury website, because they said this bill is not fit for purpose. It doesn't do the protection of nature and people or health. It is not based on science. And just to be clear, we don't have to get into the science too much, but What the industry is saying, that the gene editing can be so much like nature, not all nature, but particularly mutagenesis using radiation and radiation and chemicals that scramble genes. This is more precise than that, so therefore it must be more safe. But the bottom line is, you need to check, because every one of these techniques can cause other unexpected effects that may not be safe. So you've got to check. And what this bill says, oh, well, the companies will check it. And we've got a long history of companies being left to check things and not getting it right. So you've got to have some system to trace these products, to check they are what they are, to keep them separate, to allow choice. So those are the bottom lines. And I really do encourage people to find out. And that science paper from that University of Canterbury group, these are global experts. These are consultants for the world on biosafety. And they're saying, no, they're not. They're saying, well, they're particularly worried about gene technology outside the lab. And it's sometimes hard to kind of clarify this, but they're not talking about there's no gene edited product that can't be proved safe by looking at it and then used and approved for outside environment, because it's not going to kill the insects. It's not going to do this. It's not going to do that. What they're saying is you mustn't allow the gene technology out of the lab. Because today the scientists in America and other places are so clever, they can actually create products that are sprayed onto the field and edit the insect or the plant in the field, outdoor genetic engineering. And so these biosafety experts are saying the one thing you must do is not allow these active gene editors into the environment, because they may not stop. They will stop eventually to some extent, but in the meantime, they may impact beneficial insects like bees. They may impact soil microbes or kill other plants they're not supposed to kill, or other effects. So they're saying you can't allow genetic engineering out in the environment because the technology has advanced that far. The technology has also advanced to check what these products are and spot them. So there is a real market access issue that if you don't regulate them, and countries overseas who don't want GMOs, or at least want to check what the GMO is, find something that's not expected, not regulated, not identified, they're going to stop that entry into the country. They're not going to allow an export. or an import of a product from New Zealand that's got an unknown GMO in it.
Yeah,
and, and the technology can test it. It's getting better and better. All the technology is getting better and better. So is the technology for regulation. And again, this bill's ignoring the fact that it doesn't cost a lot to get a whole genome sequencing. And it doesn't cost too much, I don't think, to use what they call omics, which is looking at what the complex systems you may have changed through this change in the organism. That should be part of every country's regulation, and it's not part of any country's regulation. So there are ways to regulate safety, but that's not what's going on.
No. So from what you're saying, I mean, if the biosafety people are raising a red flag, the bioethics people are raising a red flag, industry's raising a red flag, looks like a dog, smells like a dog, barks like a dog, this bill's a dog.
And it's a very dangerous dog because the government's determined to pass it. So I mean, I understand that they've got these promises they've made to industry. And going back to your question, absolutely, this is a global issue. New Zealand is seen as almost, test case to overcome public resistance, to hide these products into the system, to deny people the right to choose and just say, well, so we've done it. And I really think we have to fight against that because they shouldn't be doing it to anyone and anywhere in the world. And we seem to be the first off the block to get this real deregulation for enabling the biotech industry at private profit, but at public, so for private profit at public risk.
Yeah, wow. So again, that date, 17th of February, and I know that Alistair and I are going to talk about this a little bit further. John Carapie, GE Free New Zealand spokesman, thank you very much for your time today here on RCR 360.
Thank you.